Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable. Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hello, managers. Welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Wednesday night, March the 27th. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who already finds FPL a bit of a challenge. Andrew, have you registered your FPL challenge side yet?
I actually have.
Okay.
I thought I'd give it a crack. Like, what else was there to do this week? I spent about 5 minutes on it. Like, not even, to be honest, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, picked a team, won't look at it again, but I'll give it a crack. But you're right, I do find FPL a challenge, especially last game week. So,
shall we just like rip the band-aid off and talk about game week 29? The shit
yeah,
show.
Look, it won't take long, so let's just do it.
It won't take long.
No. Should I start by listing all of the players that returned?
Yeah, sure. No.
Okay, cool. I'm finished.
And cut.
Yeah, that's it. Great episode.
Oh, so you finished up with 14 points after the hit because
you 18.
You were not, for those that are just joining us, Andrew did not use a chip. In game week 29, he was playing through, but 14 points after that all was said and done. But yeah, our teams were fairly similar-ish. Like I used my free hit chip. I finished up with 21 points, which was enough for a green arrow, and that was basically because I had Morgan Gibbs-White in my side, who got an assist.
But you also had Regulion or Regulon in your side.
I did, -3. So, I should have just kept Gabriel on my side.
Yeah, you really should have. And the best thing about your team was that your bench scored more than your starting 11. That's hilarious.
Achievement unlocked. I think it takes a special kind of something.
Especially in a free hit. You've got the 11 players that you want the most that week didn't score as many as like the next four. That's you can play FPL for 50 years and that'll never happen again.
Yeah, look, I think I've played free hits before and I've got a red arrow. So the fact that I got a green arrow, I'm not really complaining. I actually found the whole game week 29 thing pretty fucking funny. Like, I thought it was just hilarious because everyone seemed to be in the same boat.
Look, everyone was in the same boat, but that was also the case when the Titanic went down. So it doesn't mean it's fun. It doesn't mean it's good.
Will you save room on the door for me?
Yeah, there's plenty of room
for two.
I don't know what the argument was about. There was so much room on the door. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, the free hit. Yeah, it sort of went down in a blaze of glory. I was actually away that weekend and I couldn't sleep. So I saw the start of the Brentford game and I was like, oh, I'm just going to sit here in bed and watch it on the phone. And I'm sitting there watching it. And seeing Regulon get that red card really early. And I was just like, you know what? I think I'm just going to turn this off now. How bad can it really get?
Oh.
Narrator, it got worse.
It got worse. That was definitely a sign of things to come.
Oh,
but yeah.
So funny.
So between the two of our starting 11s, we got one player who returned.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's why people come. That's why they listen.
That's why I guess that's why we're so famous. So at least with my team, my highest scoring player, I captained my highest scoring player, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was Sun with 2 points. So at least I didn't captain Tony with just 1 point. I was considering it. So
like you mentioned, my bench contained Robinson from Fulham, who got 11 points, Sufal, who got 7 points, and Bailey and Areola. But anyway, live and learn, green arrow, so I'll take that. And I basically don't have to see this shit show of a team again because my team has reverted back to what it was, which is
nice.
Besides the yellow flags, It's not looking too shabby at all. But the big news during this international break was last Saturday night when the double game week 34 just dropped randomly out of nowhere. And
Yeah, that took me by surprise on like a Saturday night or Saturday daytime or their time, I guess, Saturday morning their time.
It
Yeah, that
was a
was,
Saturday night for us, but it
yeah.
was a curveball because I, for one, was not expecting that many doubles. And mostly the thing I'm more surprised about is that Spurs have a blank. I think that's the
Yeah.
biggest thing out of any of it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Was there a chance that Chelsea were going to get a double in 34, or were they never going to get a double?
I don't think they could get a double because of
Okay.
the cup. So.
Right. Oh, that's right. Because of the cup. But yeah, I think everyone kind of expected it would be Spurs versus Brighton, I think.
Brighton, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I mean that does it does make things a little trickier, for some people. I guess it makes some people's decision for them in terms of chip strategy, the way everything fell. But yeah, I was happy that we have that many doubles in 34 because I plan to wild card sort of soon, and then the more doubles in 34 the better for me. Yeah.
So, yeah, you still have free hit, wild card, bench boost, which I dare say would be the minority of most FPL managers to have like three chips left. I reckon I'm more sort of the standard, like with two chips left, which is the wild card and the bench boost. But we've been going about things very differently, and I think how we're going to play out the rest of the season is going to be very different as well,
Yeah, I think so too. I think
which
so
makes it
too. I mean,
interesting, actually.
it does. It does. I mean, it like I it was all sort of set in motion when I decided not to use the free hit in 29. And I'm pretty happy with how that went. Like, obviously, we didn't talk about our arrows. You got a green arrow with your 21 points. I got a red arrow with my 14. But the difference between, I think non-free hitters were sort of around where I was, kind of 14, 15, and then free hitters were up around 20. Like, obviously, in hindsight, you want more than a 5 point gain on the field with a free hit. So, I was pretty happy with the red arrow that I got. I think I went from 116K to 130K.
Yeah, which isn't that bad, all things
No,
considered.
no. But like having said that, like, you said before, we live and learn. I don't really think if the same thing happened next season, you would make a different decision. Like
No.
it didn't work out this year, but I don't think there was anything wrong with free hitting in that week. Most people's teams were set up in such a way that it was the right thing to do, and it just didn't work out. So,
Yeah, correct. That's what I think.
but given that you're kind of in the majority of people that have got like the wild card and the bench boost to go, I think we should talk about kind of what your plans are because it's probably relevant to more people than my plans. What are your plans with your chips for the rest of the season?
Yeah, so I am thinking of wildcarding in either 35 or 36. So I've had a look at my squad and my potential moves, and I think 35, it still looks pretty decent. So I'm not sure if I get an extra week out of that, but I may just pull the trigger in 35 anyway.
Does it just completely depend for you on when that Chelsea Chelsea's double game week falls, like whether it falls in 35 or 36.
Yeah, maybe. And yeah, also, yeah, the Spurs as well. Because I mean, both
Yeah.
Chelsea and Spurs are going to have two sets of doubles in those last few weeks of the season. So I think it's just a matter of
Yeah.
when they get announced that'll probably determine it more. But just the way my side is set up currently, like I can easily play through to 34,
Yeah. So
get in
the
all the
fact that
players.
Like, were you planning on wild carding earlier than 34 before they announced the doubles and you saw how many there were?
No. And
Okay.
actually, all my moves that I've been planning haven't actually changed since my immediate transfers have not changed since the double game week 34 announcement.
Yeah,
If
right.
anything, it's just validated my thinking that well, I'm gonna stay on that course.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, it makes sense for people that have in your position, that have just free hitted and then have got the wild card and the bench boost to go. It kind of does make sense to wildcard around that 35 mark. I think it makes, I can completely understand why you're doing that. I mean, you kind of want to wildcard as close to the bench boost as possible, don't you?
True. Yeah, because it's a bit sometimes a bit hard when you wild card and the bench boost is a number of weeks away because it just takes one or two injuries and then suddenly, you're losing out. Originally, when I saw the 34 announcements, I thought, oh, that'd be a really good week to bench boost. But the biggest issue is that neither of my keepers double in that game week, and I think I needed at least one, so I'd be taking way too many hits just to make a bench boost
Or you'd have to
viable,
wildcard before it.
which is what I did last season, and in the end, it just wasn't really worthwhile. That's one of the lessons I learned last season, not to force it. So I'll use the wild card. I'll set it up, and yeah, we should be able to get some juice out of that.
Yeah, right. So, how many doublers do you have for 34 now?
At currently, for 34, I've got let me see. Gabriel. Let me see who else. Saka, Solanke, and that's it at the moment. But the way I've worked out my transfers, so spoiler alert, I'm actually going to take a hit this game week.
Ooh,
Yeah, because I want.
you don't take these. Usually me taking the hits.
Yeah, no, I want to go full on attack now. So I want the Egyptian King back for this game week. The way to do that is to take a hit. So it's I'm likely dropping Solanke this game week. I'm thinking of either going with Semenyo, so to keep that double Bournemouth coverage, or to go with Muniz from Fulham because the immediate fixtures are really good. So I could catch the Sheffield United and Forest games in the next couple game weeks. But yeah, with those transfers and other transfers in mind, like I'm probably going to aim to get Ryan Aitnari in the next game week as well, and then a few other transfers. So by the time I get to 34, I could easily get like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at least 8 doubles in
Yeah,
my
is that more than one hit between now and then?
it's that's just 2 hits.
Yeah, okay. That's not too bad at all.
But I mean, with this type of playing, there's a few things that Kelleher's still been in goals for Liverpool. I'm not too sure if that's going to still be viable by 34. Like, there's still a long time between here and there, and Alisson could be back. So,
Yeah, exactly.
but it
It is
basically,
frustrating that they won't tell us what the hell is going on with Allison.
yeah, it is frustrating. But I mean, this side basically has triple Arsenal, triple Liverpool. It has. I'm probably keeping Ollie Watkins, I dare say. His fixture in 34, he's got Bournemouth at home, which is pretty good. And also, I still haven't quite decided what to do with Watkins, whether I sell him because I've got so much value tied up in him. I basically had him all season, so there's a lot of value there.
Because
Or
he could be your cash cow instead of Solanke, and then that gives you obviously another doubler
He
in
could be.
34.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Watkins fixtures. I also think he's in a better team, probably going to get more chances. This game week 34 side that I've sort of drafted up, I've got Darwin. So I've got Haaland, Watkins, Darwin at the moment. So
Yeah, that's
I don't
nice.
even have Solanke.
The issue with Watkins though, like his fixtures are pretty mixed. Like he does have Man City away in 31, Arsenal away in 33. So, I mean, there's a couple of fixtures there where you probably play him just because he's that good, but you wouldn't necessarily expect a lot from him.
Yeah, true. Yeah, no, I have thought long and hard about that, but like I dare say game week 30's got Wolves at home, which is great. So that's a keeper. Yeah, City away is a bit tricky. But that said, I could bench him and I could still play my ideal side because I'm going to have a benching headache that week anyway. So benching headache may be Watkins just sitting on my bench.
And then you've got Brentford at home in 32, and then as you said,
Yeah.
Bournemouth at home in 34. So
Yeah.
yeah, it'll be good because he will almost be a differential for you.
Yeah, I feel
Think a lot
like
of people are going to get rid of him.
a lot of people will get rid of him, which I understand because if you're playing the fixtures, it makes so much sense. But It's I don't know, personal decision for me. I've really enjoyed having him. I've got a lot of value tied up, so I don't want to just make a rash decision this week because I need to free up funds to get Salah and take him out, and then realize, oh, actually, maybe I should have kept him. Whereas I have no value in Solanke at the moment because I only just got him back in just before the doubles again. So, if I need to, worst comes to worst, I can always get him back in. It's not the end of the world, but yeah.
No, it makes complete sense. I like it. I like it a lot.
But yeah, so yeah, planning out. Yeah, it's so that leads me to like a game week. Yes, I mean game week 35. This side looks really good too. So yeah, it could just be game week 36 wild card, and then load up with those Spurs and Chelsea and United, Newcastle, all those type of players to fill out the bench boost.
It's probably going to be one of the latest wild cards you've ever played. Like 36 is very late to play a wild
Yeah,
card,
it is.
but that's just like kind of the way this season's panned out.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I'm not complaining. It's yeah. It's funny because when I saw those fixtures get announced for 35, there was a lot of hot takes on Twitter. A lot of people standing on their soapbox yelling out, and people saying, "Oh, X chip strategy is so much superior. I'm validated with my decision now." And it's like, and it's not like it's that's such a dumb thing to say because you could be saying that your chip strategy is the best, but it might be what's best for you because that's what you've been doing all season. Like you've been working towards that, but it might not be the same for, another person might be thinking the exact same thing, but their side is completely different.
Obviously, like you've been maneuvering your team in a certain way.
Yeah,
So when
weeks
so
before and weeks after.
yeah,
So.
exactly. So the strategy that you've got in your head is going to be the best for you. Like I don't really have any time for people that get on Twitter and say like this is my strategy and it's the best strategy and this is why. Like especially when they're belittling or condescending to other people and other people's strategies, like that's just a waste of time. But of course, I agree with you though. Like everyone has been working their team towards a particular strategy, and I don't know. Like game week 34, the announcements were a little bit surprising in terms of just how many doubles there were, but I don't think that they were such a shock that it's going to change many people's strategy than what they already had in their head.
Which is what people have been working towards like for weeks and weeks and weeks. So
Pretty much since the Liverpool double in 25 or 26 or whenever that was, that's really when people started their strategy in motion from that point to almost the end of the season. So, my strategy is kind of, I think it's locked in, but I guess I've got, as you said, I've got the bench boost and the free hit. So what I need to figure out is which of, it makes sense to probably play one of those chips in 34 and one of those chips in 37. So it's just for me about which one is the best and has the recent double game week 34 and blank game week 34 announcements, has that changed, what I think the best strategy is? So I'm not 100% decided, but I think ultimately it hasn't. I think I'm going to stick with I'm probably just going to stick with what I've been saying all along, and that is to bench boost in 34 and free hit in 37, which seems to be the opposite of what the majority of people are saying on Twitter and in podcasts and what people are recommending. But I think, yeah, I don't know. I just think that maybe people are underestimating just how many problems they're going to encounter between now and 37 when they're planning to bench boost. We saw, I was we saw that the number of injuries that we've had just between, say, game week 25 and 29, there were so many injuries. I copped so many injuries from players that I was planning to use in 29. So I think we can probably expect the same. We can probably expect there'd be a number of injuries to players that you might be banking on for bench boost in 37 between now and then, and that's not even to mention the fact that in by the time we get to 37, there might be a number of teams that don't really have anything to play for. So they might not, you know, you might not be getting 180 minutes from your double game weekers in 37.
Yeah.
Whereas you might be more likely to get reliable minutes in 34 when everyone still has, you know, everything to play for, or at least, you know, more teams do.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose by the time you get to game week 37, some teams might have 8 league games by then. They might have 9 or 10 in some cases. If they're the elite teams like Arsenal or City,
yeah,
they'll have, they, you know, if they get make it through to the Champions League semi-finals, there's an extra like 4 fixtures right there with quarterfinals and semi-finals, and City's yeah. still got the FA Cup semi-finals to contend with as well. So
that's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of football to be played between now and then. And that I've had that thought too with a lot of people that are talking about wildcarding now and then trying to like keep that squad structure together
to
all the way
37.
Through to game week 37. Like get the free hit for 34, like in that scenario. That makes sense. But like between now and, like you said, between now and 37, there's so many things that can happen.
So many things going to change. And it totally makes sense for people like yourself that have only got one of those chips, I've only got the bench boost left, that you can hold off your wild card till 35. And as I said before, play it much closer to the bench boost. But for people such as me who tried to play through 29 without using that free hit chip, I don't think my team is as well set up now for 34 as maybe yours is. So I feel like I need that wild card now. Like, and now not meaning game week 30, but probably next week I'm looking at wild carding in 31.
Yeah.
And I think I need to, whereas you probably don't. And given that I need to wild card in 31, I think that does change when the best game week to bench boost is. Yeah, just for that same reason. Like it's, I really do think that it's usually like I'm expecting one or two things to go wrong even between my wild card in 31 and the bench boost in 34, let alone trying to hold on until 37.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I want to do it that way. Now, I guess the main argument that I can see, and this is just relating to people that have both the free hit and the bench boost. The main argument I can see for free hitting in 34 rather than bench boosting in 34 is that because Chelsea have a terrible fixture in 34, they're away to Arsenal, I think.
Yes.
Or at least they're playing
correct.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then Spurs don't have a fixture at all. So it makes sense in people's minds that you've use your free hit in 34. That way you can still have plenty of Chelsea and plenty of Spurs leading up to it. And then you get them back in 35 because they've got the double-double. They've got two doubles after 35. So I do understand that argument. And that's something that I'm going to have to manage. And that's one of the downsides to my plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think equally, if I was to free hit in 34 and then bench boost in 37, I'd sort of run into a similar problem in 37 where, because Arsenal and Liverpool don't double in 37, I'm probably not going to have, I wouldn't have too many assets from Arsenal or Liverpool in 37.
Yeah.
Right. For my bench boost. So then I get to 38, where Arsenal, I think, are home to
Everton
and yeah. Liverpool are home to Wolves. And I'm not going to have anywhere near enough coverage for those two teams. Like those are really good home fixtures for teams that could potentially be fighting for the title.
Yeah, on
game.
The final day.
So people that are kind of that are bench boosting 37, they're going to prioritize double game weekers in 37. I think in 37, Liverpool are away to Villa, and Arsenal are away to Manchester United, or possibly
correct.
Vice versa.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So they're not great fixtures. So not too many people are going to have, you know, your five or six Arsenal and Liverpool assets for that game week, and then bench boost it. Which in 38 means they're not going to have, you know, coverage of those. Like I would argue that Liverpool and Arsenal are the best two fantasy team, like teams for fantasy assets in the league.
Yeah.
Better than Man City, because Man City are a bit less predictable, lineup wise. So like, I think it's a similar issue that you're going to have either way. And I guess the advantage of me, bench boosting in 34 is that, yes, I'm probably going to be a bit light on Arsenal and sorry, I'm going to be a bit light on Chelsea and Spurs, but I can come out of that game week with two free transfers. And potentially that it seems like most likely scenario is that the Chelsea Spurs extra double is going to be in 36 rather than 35. So I've got three, I potentially have three free transfers to use after game week 34 to load up on Chelsea and Spurs before their two doubles. Or it's really only the first double I need to worry about because I can free hit in 37. But I will have two or three free transfers to use to get more Spurs and Chelsea assets, whereas I wouldn't have that luxury if I bench boosted in 37 and then immediately get to 38 and I want Arsenal and Liverpool.
No, it's a sound strategy. And yeah, like you said, it's very different to other concepts that have been floating around. Like yours is the only one where I've heard it the other way around. But explaining it out and planning it, it does make a lot of sense. Like I said, game week 34, if I could, I'd bench boost in 34 if I could, because the fixtures look great, but I'm a little bit handicapped in that the team I currently have just isn't, it's just not quite there.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. And there is going to be some sacrifices I have to make by bench boosting in 34. Like I probably am going to keep Cole Palmer.
Makes sense.
Arsenal. Who knows, like depending on budget constraints and things like that, like I might end up with someone like Lascelles, who's, again, he's got a good fixture, but it's only a single game week fixture. So there might be, you know, I don't think I'm going to have 15 double game week players on my bench boost. I'm going to have Haaland for sure. He's got a single game week. I'm going to have Cole Palmer. He's got a single game week. I might have one other. So I probably am. I'm not going to get the 15 doublers that you like in a perfect world on a bench boost. But I think that the free hit is a more powerful chip than the bench boost. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather free hit in the week that I think is the most powerful week to free hit than really worry too much about the bench boost. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. I mean, there's definitely pros and cons. So there's definitely going to be some negatives to my strategy. I understand that. I'm probably not going to have as much Manchester United and Newcastle as I'd like in 35 and 36 when they've got great fixtures as well, because I'm going to have to focus my transfers on Spurs and Chelsea. But
yeah,
I think from an overall point of view, I want to focus on the teams with really good fantasy assets, like Arsenal and Liverpool, and not worry about Newcastle and Manchester United, who can struggle at the best of times anyway.
Sort of looking ahead at the fixture tickers and stuff, like Liverpool seem to be, like you said, I think Liverpool and Arsenal from an FPL perspective seem to be the best assets to hold. And a big international break for Mo Salah in that he didn't do anything. He got to sit here, rest up. He played, I think, 90 minutes in the FA Cup loss at Man United, scored, which he always does against Man United anyway. But now heading into this run-in of fixtures, now they don't have Champions League football, they've got Europa League football, but I think it's going to be all focus on the league from here on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I think Klopp, you know, I think it's not that he's going to put no focus on the Europa, but it's definitely going to be the second focus.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't need to win the Europa to qualify for the Champions League next year. They'll do that from their league finish.
Yeah.
So it's really just the trophy, and it's obviously nowhere near as much of an important trophy as the actual Premier League trophy. So
yeah,
I think that, yeah, they will, I think they will roll out as best as they can a first choice team for all the league games, even, you know, in the periods where they've got two or three in a week. I think they'll try as best as they can to play their first strength team in the league.
Now, if there's probably a lot of managers out there at the moment that heading into game week 30, they're looking at their sides now. Maybe they free hit in 29. They're looking at a week where, Liverpool are playing Brighton, Chelsea are playing Burnley, and Spurs are playing Luton. Now, there's a lot of managers will be thinking, I don't have Salah, I don't have Son, I don't have Palmer. Like, if you had to prioritize one of them for this game week, Like it's a really tough choice because I think they're all three are brilliant, but it's a situation that there's a lot of people out there in that, you know, they don't have one of these three. That, you know, some might have two, some might even have three, but yeah, there's a lot trying to make a really hard decision this game week.
I guess that's all, it's almost the same question as who will you captain this week? Because I think what you've done is
Yeah.
you've named the three best captaincy choices this week. So it's like if you don't have one of those three, like do you need to pull out all stops to get that person? Or is two out of the three enough? If you know, it probably if you get the captaincy call right, then maybe it will be, but who knows if we will. Like I would feel like I have every intention of having all three. I would feel a lot more comfortable if I had all three. And then you almost just go with your gut on captaincy. And as long as you've got all three, then surely, you know, you can't have too bad of a week, regardless of whether you get the captaincy choice right or not. But I guess, yeah, like, are they worth a hit to make sure that you have all three? Like, and if you're wildcarding in 31, is it worth a hit just 1 week out from wildcard, or is it worth bringing the wildcard forward a week to make sure that you have all three? These are all questions that people are probably wrestling with at the moment.
And yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky because I didn't free hit in 29. I've got three Spurs, so that's the Luton thing covered. Like I've got Son. I kept Palmer all the way through. He was someone that you know I just had on the bench last week. And I've got all the money in the world to bring Salah in because I went without Haaland for the last couple of weeks.
That's all right.
So I'll definitely be bringing Salah in. The only question for me is who do I bring him in for? Bowen seems to be the most logical. However, if we hear that Richarlison's still not really fit and he's not likely to start, then maybe it'll actually be Richarlison that goes. Because I don't mind Bowen's fixture away to Newcastle. Like Newcastle's defense, as you know, hasn't been great for quite a while. So that's the I think I've got to wait for the press conferences to decide whether it's going to be Richarlison or Bowen that goes for Salah. But I think it's 90% going to be Bowen because I do think Richarlison's probably is fit and ready to start.
I think so too. Interesting decisions everyone has to
Yeah, and it's only a couple of days till deadline now. You know, we've had our cushy little 2 week break and now we've actually got us we can't just like put off that uni assignment anymore. We've actually got to sit down, knuckle down and actually do it. It's due on Saturday.
We use AI to do it for us.
Yeah, I'll use
Analytics.
ChatGPT to decide who to get out, who to remove from my team for Salah. I'll use Review. That's the
FPL
ChatGPT of
review.
FPL, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Review suggests that you should take a minus eight and get Nicholas Jackson.
When I was in high school, it was in Carter
In Carter
97. I don't
96. Yeah, in
yeah
Carter 96, man.
in 96 there you go, you're a different vintage, but everyone's assignment was exactly the same. It's just a couple of little reworded paragraphs from in Carter, but pretty much the same.
Oh man, talk you are talking my tune.
Those are the memories.
There's a lot of people our age, 40 and above, just like nodding, just go, yeah. Those were the
Yeah,
days.
I don't know if Encarta was a thing in other countries or it's just an Australian thing. I imagine that it was everywhere.
You think, well, you like to think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people that are around our vintage, as you say, that are just having some nostalgia flashbacks at the moment.
Who needed encyclopedias? Oh, but what we do need is a break. So what we'll do is we will take that out. On the other side, we're going to preview game week 30 and give our Goodwill punting picks for that game week as well. Okay, welcome back. And we have game week 30. Andrew, 10 fixtures this game week, which is much better than the four that we got in game week 29.
So many fixtures. I'm excited.
Look at this. It's a proper round and all kicking off Saturday night. So the last 11:30 p.m. kickoff in Australia. So we've got Newcastle, West Ham. Oh, sorry, I should add 10 p.m. FBL deadline for managers here. Yep. Make sure you don't forget, lock that side in.
Yep. Don't forget to take that hit to bring in Salah by 10 p.m.
Note to self.
Yep.
I'm going to put that post-it note on my Mac right now. But yeah, Newcastle, West Ham, kicking things off. It's not the most exciting match, is it? But maybe
no.
From an FPL perspective, but
there are some people who are strongly looking at Isak on wildcard.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
He may be injured and come back like two times by 37.
Correct. And then, I guess there's also people that have still got Bowen. So there is some interest there. Not as much of a relevant FPL fixture as the same fixture might have been earlier in the season.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, is if for people that are wildcarding now, someone like Anthony Gordon, I mean, probably long-term really good, but yeah, maybe he's an asset you get later down the track, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Newcastle's fixtures are fantastic. They've got West Ham home. That's this one, obviously. Everton home. Then they've got Fulham away, Tottenham home. And then in 34, Crystal Palace, then Sheffield United, then Burnley, Brighton, Brentford. Like, it's pretty good all the way through.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're free hitting in 30, especially if you're free hitting in 34, when they don't have a double, I do think that they are not a bad team to invest in. Anthony Gordon, always good. He seems to like play the next game, whether if he gets injured or not. But defense wise, more and more iffy, you know, like with I suppose we've got Lascelles now at like 3.9, who is probably pretty nailed now that Botman is out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, their defense, they're not keeping too many clean sheets. So
no.
Not a bad enabler at all. Like he served me really well on my first wild card when I brought Lascelles in.
Yeah.
I am considering it again next week.
And is the ink still dry on your Bowen hat-trick tattoo that you got during the international break? Just can't bring yourself to get rid of it.
Still got the cling wrap on it. Yeah. I don't know. I do feel bad about dropping him, but I am strongly considering dropping him this week. So
you just know you'll bring him back in like another game week or two.
Yeah, probably. Maybe in 38 just for the lols. But I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. You think like a 2-2 kind of thing, maybe?
A Desmond?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. The way your voice just went really high pitched when you're pitching
you
that.
You can tell I'm not convinced. Clutch. Like I don't know whether it's going to be an actual draw. But I just don't trust Newcastle at the moment, so that's why I threw in a 2-2.
Yeah, I don't trust Newcastle, but I also don't trust West Ham away.
No.
Post international break, yeah, it's a tricky. I'll go 1-1 rather than a 2-2.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
interesting. I don't know if either defenses are strong enough to only concede one. That's
true.
All.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Then we've got a raft of fixtures kicking off at 2 a.m. here. So the first one is Bournemouth Everton, a juicy fixture. Especially for a lot of managers that they're holding onto those Bournemouth assets from, you know, double game week 28 and the blank game week 29. So,
yep. Yes. Another good fixture for Solanke, obviously.
Yeah, big game, blanky Solanke.
Big game. Oh, well, you know what? He returned in his, he didn't. Yeah, he returned in his last game, didn't he?
In the second game, yes.
Yeah, so he's back.
He's back. Everton, though, interesting that they seem to be like a good team for your cheap assets in double game week 34. But yeah, it's a tricky one.
I think I like Everton a lot for like bench boost kind of filler players. Yeah. Like they've got, you know, in the double, they've got Forest at home and then Liverpool. So like I'm looking at someone like Pickford and you're like, well, he might jag a clean sheet in that first one. And then in the Liverpool game, like he's probably going to concede two or three, but he might also make like 11 saves.
Yeah.
So
or get an assist.
Yeah, true. Or save a Mo Salah penalty.
don't put that out in the universe, my God.
I might be getting ahead of myself.
Oh, then we've got Chelsea Burnley. So yeah, Chelsea, yeah,
that's a juicy fixture.
That is a juicy fixture. So good international break for Chelsea. Mykhailo Mudryk scored the winner for Ukraine this morning to send Ukraine to the Euros. And yeah, Chilwell was back in the England setup, and yeah, Palmer basically got a rest this international break. But
and Gusto's yellow flagged is, like, I think due to illness. Do we know if he's good as gold now? Or
I think he'll be fine. Yeah,
he should be.
Yeah, he should be fine. I don't think he can be sick for like 2 weeks. So
no. I mean, not usually.
But yeah, really good fixture there for all those Chelsea assets. And then we got Forest Crystal Palace. So, this one is a tough one to call. So,
that one seems like a 1-1, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to make of it. New managers of both clubs, but they're not really setting the world on fire, are they?
No, they're not. Although, you know, Eze is back for Palace, and I don't know if Elise is
going
to be back, or at least he's close. Not quite.
Might be back by 34.
Yeah, okay.
Around that time frame.
Okay. So not for a while. Yeah. I mean, Crystal Palace have been better under the new manager, but they still haven't been setting the world on fire. So I do think that this might be the most boring game of the week.
And it might be more of a recon mission, like having a look at those cheaper Palace players so that by the time we get to 34, we know who we might be targeting. I know Munoz is getting a bit of love at the moment, especially after he scored for Colombia during the break. But yeah, it might be a bit of a watch and wait.
Two home games in the double. So Eze is very tempting. As you say, Munoz. And like, as a really cheap enabler, I think Richards is like 3.9.
Yeah.
So there's a few assets for Palace that are kind of auditioning for our game week 34, either free hits or bench boost teams.
No killer, all filler.
Yeah, correct.
Sheffield United, Fulham. So yeah, I mean the Mooneys show looks like rolling on here, but we saw Raul Jimenez return for Fulham. So I think Mooneys came off about just after 60 odd minutes in game week 29 from my very fuzzy memory.
It was more of a threat to his minutes than I expected, because Mooneys has been that good. I didn't really think Jimenez was going to impact him too much, especially that early.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder if it was more the setup that Silva had for Fulham up against Spurs. It was only a 2-0 lead at that stage when he came off. But yeah, tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it, because he's a very popular player. His price has risen during this international break. And he's a
very popular player.
Yeah,
he's a player that you're thinking of using to get money, right?
Yeah.
To get to Salah.
To use as an enabler, but also, you know, sort of attack with these fixtures in the short term and, you know, into heading towards game week 34 to free up some funds. But, yeah, with that minutes risk, that's my concern.
Yeah. Well, and in 34 as well, they've got Liverpool, right?
Yeah. So I'm not playing him in 34. I'll probably like flip him for someone else by 34 anyway.
Well, I mean, that's why I quite like the Semenyo shout that you made earlier, because I know that obviously Fulham have got really good fixtures for the next couple, but yeah.
So do Bournemouth.
So do Bournemouth. And like, and 34, they've got a double, and Semenyo is a lot more, you know, there's no real concern over his minutes. Whereas Mooneys, you know, we've seen him go off early with Jimenez being back. So
yeah.
I kind of like the Semenyo shout.
It could also be a bit of insurance. So I get to 34 and, you know, as things happen in football, shit happens. I've already got that doubler there, at least. Yeah. Like, I'm not looking to go, I need to get another doubler for 34 because I need one. But yeah, that's something. Yeah. I mean, his minutes, the thing is, I'm going against Solanke, which is, an issue because he's very popular. But I sort of feel that between Semenyo and Solanke, if one's going to be involved, the other might be as well. It might be a case of having the assister for the goal, or, you know, the goal for the assister.
Yeah, true.
No, that's
true. And, you know, there's nothing stopping you down the track. Like, if Watkins, you know, gets an injury or something, there's nothing stopping you from getting Solanke as well.
Yeah. I'm
having
just
a double Bournemouth attack.
It's the only thing that, yeah, stops me from really charging in on Muniz, just seeing Raul Jimenez come back the other game week, because prior to the injury, Jimenez had really hit form.
And if you look at the stats as well, Muniz has been overperforming. So you do have to wonder whether what he's been doing is something that he can keep up longer term as well.
Yeah. Oh, I hope Q from the FPL Amateurs of Oz podcast is listening to this. He'll be screaming at us.
He'll be so angry. But
he will be so angry we're questioning Muniz.
It's like, how dare they? How dare they?
Oh, by the way, Q, we will get to you later in the podcast. Trust me. Spurs Luton. Yeah, a lot of sun love here. Richarlison, you know, should be back in a more, you know, proficient role here. But I'm a little bit worried about Sun, because I saw, you know, Sonaldo, one of the great FPL accounts, who is South Korean as well. He was talking about how Salah played 90 minutes in both of the international matches that South Korea played, and the second one being against Thailand in a very hot and humid Thailand. I think it was last night, because all the AFC World Cup qualifications were last night.
So he's a bit,
worried
about fatigue.
Yeah. So he said he's not trying to scare people, but he's just informing people Salah played two sets of 90 minutes.
Sun played two sets of 90 minutes.
Sorry, yes, Sun. Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. I still think that Sun's minutes are pretty secure. Like, he's not coming off in that game until the game is absolutely sewn up. Or, you know, and even then, probably not till 70 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think if the game is sewn up, then Sun's probably been heavily involved anyway up to that point. And if it's not, then he's probably going to stay on. And, you know, and then at that point, you know, Sun usually scores about 10 points in added time at the end of games anyway. So it's an interesting point to note, but I wouldn't stress too much about it.
Yeah. I was saying this game has goals in it.
Yes, this game's got, I can see lots of goals in this game. What's your prediction? I reckon
3-1.
I was going to say 4-1.
Ooh, 4-1. I like that.
Yep. So one for Sun, one for Richarlison, one for
Madison.
Yeah.
Another one for John.
One for each of the Suns. John Son, Son, Richarlison, and Werner Son. One for Werner Son.
Postecoglou and Sons.
Yep. No, I think there's going to be heaps of goals. Heaps of goals.
Bring on the goals. Aston Villa Wolves. Spicy one this game. So no love lost between these two sides, but
bit of a derby, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a derby without it being a derby. But yeah, this looks like a good game on paper for Villa. So I'm keen to see.
I think it's a great game for Watkins.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially against the high-flying Wolves. That said, Wolves this season have done better against the better teams when they're able to play on the counter-attack rather than dominating possession.
That's absolutely right. And they definitely can play on the counter-attack against Villa. So that's why, you know, I don't think Villa are very likely to keep a clean sheet. But I do like it from an attacking point of view from Villa. It could be a bit of a farewell performance for Watkins for me, because I don't think he's going to survive the game week 31 wild card.
He's not surviving the car.
I don't think so. I think it's goodbye. But I'm hoping for a farewell hat trick, because I think that would be lovely.
That would be great. Brentford Man United, 7 a.m. on Easter Sunday morning for us here. So one to
don't
have
hate
with,
that.
Yeah, with your rice bubbles and chocolate eggs.
Yep, and I'm still going to have Ivan Toney there, and I don't actually mind having Ivan Toney in this fixture. I think home to United is not a bad attacking fixture at all.
Well, Reguilon definitely won't be playing.
No.
Due to his silly suspension, but yeah, we thought Brentford were going to be be good in 29 and they completely crap the bed.
They sure did, but that was heavily Regulon. because of Regulon. I mean, I think they've got no defenders left, do they?
No.
There's no Regulon, no me, no Pinnock. So defensively, I don't think it's great, but I still think that they will have at least a goal in them, probably two.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I reckon this will be like a 3-2 to United.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see United winning that game, but then we get to Super Sunday in the UK and yeah, Liverpool-Brighton. This game looks tasty. Looks like a lot of fun. Yeah. Salah's back.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to start. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. Darwin had an injury during the international break, so interesting to see how he goes. And one thing that for wildcarders, you know, you're wildcarding in 31 to consider is a player like Darwin, he's on 8 yellow cards. I think he still has to survive up until game week 33, maybe.
Yeah.
Either 32 or 33.
I think that if he gets a yellow card in this game, then that's going to be enough to put me off him on wild card. But if not, like, I think that surely he can survive until, you know, whenever he needs to. He's still got two more yellow cards up his sleeve.
Yeah.
But the other thing I like about wild carding in 31 versus 30 is that you really get to see which injuries are legit and which ones are kind of like international break injuries.
Yeah.
And the press conferences may or may not help us with that. So the only way to really know is the lineups in game week 30. And it is a short turnaround to 31, but at least I'll know who's fit and who's not.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Not too sure what to make of Brighton at the moment because, yeah, who knows what type of lineup De Zerbi's going to put out. It's a tricky one. But I don't think Brighton are really an FPL asset type of team currently. Like at this very moment in time, I don't think you're going in buying any of them.
No, the only player whose name I've heard recently is like Van Hecker as just like a 4.1 enabler that you're just going to bench, you know, most weeks.
Yeah.
But apart from that, yeah, I wouldn't really touch any of them.
I've still got
a Stupinan stinking up my bench. He's not getting anywhere near the starting lineup this week, hopefully.
For one more week.
Yeah, for one more week.
And then, yeah, the big one, City against Arsenal. So not the best international break for City defenders with Walker and Stones both getting injured. So Stones came off after like 10 minutes this morning in the game against Belgium. So, yeah, Guardiola won't be happy that he's lost two of his key defenders ahead of a huge title run in, and especially against Arsenal. So I wonder if that changes our thinking a bit in this fixture because – attacking wise for Arsenal, it's probably a little bit more swings in their favor without Stones and Walker there, like the pace of Saka and Martinelli. I don't think Martinelli will be playing. He might still be injured, but you know, we've seen Kai Havertz playing as the false nine. He's been incredible recently as well.
Yeah. What do you think? I couldn't predict this game. Like, what do you think is gonna happen?
Oh, geez.
If I was to guess a scoreline, I might say 1-1.
Yeah, it could be a draw.
I think I'm going to be playing Gabriel and just hoping for like a nil all would be fantastic.
So one thing I've learned over the years playing FPL is you have good players from good teams. Sometimes it's just better just play the good players from the good teams because I remember once getting absolutely crucified years ago. I benched Luke Shaw. United were playing in the Manchester Derby. Thought I'm going to bench Luke Shaw, and he kept a clean sheet and he scored the goal.
Yep.
And I was just like, I learned my lesson.
these are painful experiences that we learn from.
That's right. We chalk them down on the board. But yeah, I think I think it's a great fixture for all of our attacking assets from both of these sides. But it may be a case where people are having to bench one.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I'm definitely playing Saka. I don't have Haaland, so I guess it's at least a game where I think I'm not too scared of not owning Haaland. He might score a goal, but I think more than one return is probably unlikely for him. It's not doesn't look like the kind of game where he can actually like where he can ruin your game week. But having said that, if I owned him, I would very happily start him.
Yeah, it's, I mean, interesting to see what his EO will be in this game week because, yeah, it's not really a heavy captaincy. Like, it's not even really in the conversation this game week.
I think it'll be less than 100, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless there's just a whole bunch of dead teams that have just, you know, that have just got him as captain. But in terms, but in terms of the top 10K, top 100K, which I doubt there's too many dead teams in those brackets. I think he will be under 100 because, as we talked about earlier, Sun, Salah, and Palmer, those are the three that I think 90% of people will captain one of those three players.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tricky fixture from an FPL perspective in that bottom managers out there might have like four, five, even six assets from like these two teams playing in the one fixture.
Yeah, there'll be players that have got like Foden, Haaland, and maybe like a defender, like a Walker or Edison or something possibly. Like that. And then for Arsenal, they'll have like double defense plus Saka. That's definitely possible. And I think some people that have set up like that, I have been tempted, I think, to wildcard in game week 30, but I think other people will just sort of roll out all of their assets and then just hope that it's one of those kind of shootout type games that sometimes can happen in big games involving Man City.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a huge game to finish off the game week because then there's no rest because then game week 31 kicks off Wednesday morning. So it's a really quick turnaround. So what, you'll be pressing the wildcard button basically at 11:30 this Saturday night. Start 100%. Tinkering.
I'll press it. I'll chuck in like the team that I've currently got screenshotted in my phone, and then I'll leave it until the end of the game, and until like at least all the games are done, and then the tinkering will happen in earnest from Easter Monday.
Yeah. Just don't forget to press that wildcard button.
Yeah.
You don't want to be one of those memes.
Oh man! Imagine doing that. You know, this late in the season as well. Like. Completely destroying your rank at this late juncture. That would be very devastating.
You don't want to be this guy in my mini league, like that person that forgets to press the button after making 28 transfers in the game week.
No, I'm pretty OCD about these things. I'll probably check it like 50 times before before the deadline.
But, screenshot it for proof of life in case something gets wrong.
Oh God.
Don't get mixed up with the FPL challenge side.
True. I don't think you can even get to that through the app. I only ever use the app.
Oh, okay.
Are you an app guy or are you a website?
Yeah, I'm an
guy?
App guy. I think if you update the app, it's there now.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, you got to update the app.
All right.
Yeah.
Good note. Good note.
And that's the end of Tech Corner. and the end of the preview for game week 30. Now it's time for our transfer plans for this game week. So yeah, you're holding off the wild card until game week 31, but your immediate transfer plan?
So as I discussed before, holding off the wild card because I've got triple Spurs already. I've got Cole Palmer and I've got enough money for Salah. So I will 1,000,000% be bringing in Salah unless there's some sort of unknown injury that happens to him.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of who it is. It's going to be probably Bowen that goes, unless Ange Postecoglou comes out and says that, you know, Richarlison, you know, isn't ready to start or something like that. But I think it'll be Bowen to Salah, just one free transfer. And then, what I really need to think about is who to captain, but we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah, there you go. Now, my transfer plans, I talked about it before. I'm taking a hit this game week, so... Pascal Gross has served himself valiantly in my FPL side, but it's time to say farewell to the German. He will be departing, and I'll be flipping him to Mo Salah, and to free up more funds, Solanke is going to be either Muniz or Semenyo. I think it's 60-40. I think I'm swaying more towards Semenyo after we sort of talked it out before.
I've convinced you.
I don't know. Semenyo was originally my transfer, like when I was planning it out, he was the first one I went to. And then I was like, oh, Munoz, those fixtures short term look really good. Maybe that'd be more fun, but
But I just think that the deciding factor is game week 34, because you do want to maximize the double game weeks, don't you?
yeah, even though I'm not really intending to hold that player for 34, where I
You're
can
not,
flip.
even if it's Semenyo?
Yeah, because I'd probably be flipping that player to Darwin by the time I get there.
Okay. Yeah, that
Yeah.
makes sense. Well, in which case it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. But yeah, I
So it's
think
just.
Semenyo's minutes maybe might be a bit safer. But anyway.
Oh, both good options. I think it's one of those situations where they're both good options. So it's probably going to work out pretty well no matter who you choose.
I think I might just toss a coin. Why not?
That's good.
Left.
Well, do the thing where you toss the coin and then in the
You
air, like
realize.
you realize which way you hope it's going to land, and that's your decision made.
No, man, like I'll lose the
It's like, I really could
coin
have used that 20 cents. It's now
as
under the
it's in
couch.
the. Can't even get anything for 20 cents these days.
No, you can't even get a red frog for 20 cents these days.
Old man Pete, old man Andrew, yell at clouds.
Just, yeah, shaking our fists at the sky.
Back in our day, in Carter 96.
Yep. You could get that for 20 cents.
Oh, anyway, now it's time for goodwill punting, where we look at a differential for the game week. So, another good result for myself in blank game week 29. If you cast your minds back, I did tip Munoz 13 points. Did I get him in on my free hit though? Of course not.
No.
That'd be the smart thing to do.
Imagine. But you have absolutely killed it recently, though. Like your last 4 weeks,
I'm on a bit of a hothead.
you've got 12 points, 14 points, then just the four, but then 13. So you've got three double-digit hauls from your goodwill punting for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah,
That's
it's
incredible.
been a bit of a late surge to try and redeem my efforts this season. You went with Brennan Johnson, who unfortunately only finished up with 1 point in that crazy game against Fulham, but that is the past. It's all about the future. Who are you going with for game week 30?
I'm coming back around to someone that was relevant early in the season, and I think maybe he'll be relevant again to finish the season. Nick Jackson.
Good pick. Good
Yeah,
form.
he's 6.8 million. He's at under 5% owned, 4.6%. I just think, as we talked about, the home Burnley is a very, very juicy fixture. He's probably the second best. I think he's definitely the second best attacking Chelsea asset behind Cole Palmer. And he has improved as the season's gone on. He's returned in three straight games. I'd be surprised if he didn't make it four. So yeah, I honestly think that he's a decent shout on wild card.
Yeah.
If you're free hitting in 34, so you don't mind, like, because obviously their fixture in 34 is not great. So, but if you're free hitting in 34 and wild carding before that, I think he's a great shout. Or even if you're wild carding in 35, 36, like yourself,
Yeah.
I think he's a decent shout on wild card.
Yeah, it could be one of those options. He is one yellow card away from a two-game suspension, which, knowing Nicholas Jackson, will definitely happen this game week.
Well, I suppose he's an all right punt for this week then.
Yeah.
And then you
Well,
kind of wait for that. What is it? The 30, they've got to play 32 games, or the team's got to play 32 games. Is that right?
32 games, yeah.
All
So
right.
yeah,
Well,
anyway.
he's a
But yeah,
risky
no,
one.
great pick. He's been in stellar form. He's made such a big difference when he plays. So yeah, great pick. I'm sticking with Chelsea. I'm going with Ben Chilwell. So yeah, back in the England fold, he featured in that game against Brazil the other day, which was good for him. But 5.4 million, only 4.9% owned. So yeah, with that home fixture against Burnley, it speaks for itself. Great chance to keep a defensive clean sheet. And we've seen Ben get quite a few attacking returns in the past. So we're both going Chelsea. So happy days.
Well, it's one of the best fixtures of the week, so I'm not surprised we've both gone Chelsea.
Prepare for disappointment. Welcome to my
Always,
world.
always prepare for disappointment.
Oh, anyway, now it's time for O Captain, My Captain, top three captaincy picks. We sort of talked about this before, but we have the same three players. You just have a different captain and vice captain to me.
Yeah, we've just got them the other way around. And I'm not 100% convinced about this either, but I have got Sun home to Luton as my number one, just because Luton have just been leaking so many goals and their defence seems to be an absolute rabble at the moment. So I kind of feel like they've defensively wise, they've kind of run out of steam. They're still coming at teams from an attacking point of view, but defensively, I think, yeah, they're just running on fumes and everyone that plays them seems to be scoring multiple goals. So I just think penalty taker home to Luton is an obvious captain choice. But yeah, Salah's my number two. He's also a fantastic captain choice home to Brighton. And I can't believe that we've got Palmer, who's one of the best FPL assets of the year, playing a home
double
game to
digit
Burnley.
Hall machine.
Absolutely. And he's only the third best choice for the week. That just goes to show, I think this week has potential to be a high scoring week.
It does. You know,
we've gone past like the lowest scoring week in FPL history, literally. And now I think we're going to have a high scoring one.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of loose defenses this game week. I think Palmer would be higher if we trusted Chelsea a bit more. They can be very Jekyll and Hyde. And historically, I can tell you as a Chelsea fan, post-international break games are always shocking.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, I mean, like you've got Son and Salah assets that we've been relying on for literally years and years and years.
Yeah.
So I just think that puts them on over Cole Palmer, but it's close.
Yeah, it's really close. So, yeah, you went with those. I went with Salah as top choice, followed by Son with Palmer coming in third. But the FPL Signet Podcast League, so not too much movement in the league. So Mahesh Sharma still leads the way, sitting top. Matthew Beyer coming in second, and Drew Potter coming in third. Andrew, yourself, you took a little bit of a dip.
Yeah, just like my, same as my overall rank. I took a red arrow. It was only a small one, down to 19th. I still feel like the top 10 graphic is within reach.
It's
close
there.
enough if close enough if good enough, I think is what they say.
Hey, worst comes to worst, I'll just extend the graphic out.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna start putting myself in there.
Yeah, do it. Putting like 30, the top 37 shouldn't be too busy for a tweet.
Just like really fine text.
Yeah. Size 4 font, ideal.
There we go. That's how we cook. Yeah, I've moved up to 37. So yeah, marching in the right direction. Hopefully there's more of that to come. But yeah, manager of Game Week 27. I said this before, Quentin Dunn, our good friend Q from the FPL Amateurs of Oz podcast with his side, 1 Bissaka, 2 Bissaka, 46 points in blank game week 29. Now, I made the mistake of thinking he was on his chip. He used a free hit. He did not. So he just loves Fulham that much. So he had Robinson with the 11 points. Safal had 7 points. He had Muniz with the 13 points. So Q absolutely smashed it. He's been preaching Fulham for weeks and weeks. So the fact that he, you know, his picks really backed up. Yeah, he did great.
I think he maybe wildcarded. Like
he wildcarded not that long ago.
Not long before the blank. So obviously he did that to set himself up for the blank and kind of the expected fixtures in 34 as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Or at least the fixtures up until that point. So he obviously chose very, very wisely on wildcard because Muniz has absolutely smashed it for him since he brought him in.
Yeah, he's skyrocketing at the moment. So, yeah, make sure you give those guys a follow and a listen to the FPL Amateurs of Oz podcast. Great friends of ours. Before we finish up, Twitter and Instagram, at FPL Signet for myself, at FPL underscore Point Break. Andrew's going to be, you know, spinning out all of his wildcard facts over the next few days because we've got such a short turnaround between 30 and 31. So that'll be interesting to keep ahead of.
Yeah, look, I think that I'm going to try to I know that this week all I'm going to do is bring in Salah, so I'm mentally resting for the next few days, and then it'll just be all hands on deck. I'll be thinking of nothing else but my wild card team after between the 30 and 31.
Oh, fun
but
times.
I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I love being on wild card. So much fun.
Are you a bit annoyed that it's a short turnaround though? You don't have the whole week.
No, I'm happy. Like,
because you'll overthink it.
Yeah, like usually what I find usually is like I'll put together an initial wild card draft, and then I'll tinker away from it gradually as the week goes on, and then I'll realize that nothing I've done since that initial draft is as good as the initial draft. So I usually end up gravitating back towards that. So this is just going to save me that process. I'll just hopefully, I've been thinking about it a little bit over the international break. So hopefully, there's some sound thinking behind kind of the draft that I've put together and screenshotted in my phone up to now.
How many screenshots you got on the phone?
Got a few. I've got a few. I don't want to disclose that.
There's worse things to have on your phone, probably anyway. So anyway,
Well, that's true.
remember you can hit the like and subscribe buttons on the tweets and Spotify and all the comments we're seeing. It's fantastic. I had someone reach out this morning to say that they love the show and really enjoy it. So it's really good to get feedback like that. Makes it all worthwhile. But anything to add before we wrap it up? It's good to get back. Like I
No,
don't know. At the international break is sort of like recharged my FPL batteries, and
yeah.
I'm keen to just sort of attack it. And more so because my
I
good friend Ahmet, who I'm up against in the mini league, has already blown his wild card, so I could see opportunities for me to absolutely bury
and you're already ahead of him, aren't you? Yeah,
just
yeah. No, I'm excited that I'm excited for FPL to be back in a couple of days or a few days, and yeah, I'm looking forward to the stretch to the end of the season. The end of the season will be on us before you know it.
It's coming around quick. So a quarter of the season left to go, basically. So,
Yeah,
oof.
it will fly though. It will fly.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when we're going to have 2 game weeks in the next week. So I'm not sure when we'll record next. Maybe it might be Tuesday night or Wednesday. I don't know. We'll work it out. But
We'll
yeah,
figure it out. We'll
bit
figure it
hard
out.
with the tight deadline. But yeah, good luck to everyone out there. Don't forget that deadline. Don't miss out because people get a bit slack after international break. And if you're playing FPL Challenge, good luck. I probably need to get onto that. We'll probably do that in the last few minutes before the deadline. Set
Yeah,
something up.
if we're gonna set up like a side net challenge league, then you probably need to
I
do it
probably should do
more than
that.
5 minutes before deadline.
It's not a bad idea, Andrew.
Yeah,
Stay tuned to the socials.
spoiler alert, I'm very heavy on Chelsea with my challenge team this week.
Oh, there we go. But good luck to everyone out there. Let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.